Oral history taking series. The subject of this tape is a Menzel family of Westcliff. And today I'm here with Velda McIntosh, who is a great-granddaughter of August Menzel that came over with the colony, and we'll be talking about that family today. Okay, Velda, I would like you to tell me something about your grandfather, your great-grandfather that came over with the colony.
Well, he came from Chicago. Yeah, part some brothers that lived in Chicago, and that's where they've been. And before that, he came from Germany, Holstein, Germany.
And was he the only one of his family that came?
No, two brothers came, Henry and August, with the wagon train. And August was the blacksmith on the wagon.
And what did this family do in the Chicago area?
They had a hardware store. As a matter of fact, I understand in old Chicago, you can go down in the old park and still find the signs.
Mm-hmm. And when they came here, what part of the valley did they settle in?
Well, they settled in what we know as Colfax. And my great-grandfather and his brother settled across the road from what we now know as the Lutheran Cemetery. In fact, my great-grandfather donated the land that the Lutheran Cemetery is now on.
Mm-hmm. Did they remain in that area? Some of the colonists moved to different parts of the valley.
They remained in that part. They didn't ranch so much at the end, but, I guess that was my grandfather that went in the hardware business with him upstairs. After he married Law and his
dad. Mm-hmm. Now, what did your great-grandfather do when he came here? In the colony, you said he was a blacksmith?
Right.
And did he continue to, did he set up a blacksmith business then?
Yes, he did, and that was carried on by my great-uncle, Gus Henry.
Uh-huh. And was he and your grandmother married at the time when he came, or did he come as a young man?
He came as a young man, and he was married twice. His first wife was a Hanson, not Ed Hanson or that part, but another branch of the Hanson. And his second wife was my grandmother, great-grandmother's name was Agreski. Born to that marriage, they had five youngsters. It was August, whom they called Gus, Charles, who was my grandfather, and three girls, Luella, Delia, and Lala.
Now, you were talking about your great-grandfather coming with the colony and giving land for the cemetery.
That's right.
So that would make him a charter member of the Hope Lutheran Church.
Right.
Did any of these young people go to the school that was mm-hmm. that they had?
They sure did. And my grandfather went back to Chicago and stayed with the relatives there and went to business school.
And then when your grandfather came out here...
We're talking about my grandfather, not my great-grandfather.
Yes.
Your great-grandfather's August Menzel.
Right. And your grandfather
is Charles.
Right.
Menzel.
And it was Charles that went back to Chicago.
Right. Sending to business school in Chicago.
Okay, then when he came back to this area, what did he do in this area?
Well, he, of course, grew up on the ranch, but then he went out on his own, and he met my grandmother, Laura Messier. And they, of course, were married, and he was in business with her brothers, Rick and Leo. They had the hardware store, the Menzel Mercier hardware store. They had the livery stable, and they went into the mortuary business. And eventually, my grandfather, Charles, bought Victor's portion of the livery and the mortuary business.
Now, can you tell me where some of these buildings were? Do you have any idea?
The hardware store is down on 2nd Street in Falkenberg's before it was their store. They bought it from Uncle Vic, I believe. And then they moved to Main Street. And now it's the Golden Apartments in a secondhand store or something.
Was it that one right on the corner?
Right, that was the original hardware store.
And how about the livery stable? Where was the livery stable?
I'm not sure about that. I have that in here.
And the mortuary?
Well, during my lifetime, the mortuary was in the house of right behind what was known as the Texaco Station. I believe John Martin's wife owns it now.
Okay. And that was the mortuary, the original mortuary.
No, that wasn't the original mortuary. I'm not sure where that was. But during my lifetime, from the time I was 5 years old, that was the mortuary.
Mm-hmm. And then was the mortuary later?
And that house was moved from Silvercliff.
I see. Okay.
That house was a wedding gift to former judge, Judge Leary, who was bride.
I see. And
you
then
can see the pine trees in Silvercliff.
Oh. What street was that on?
I'm not sure the name of the street, but I can show you the pine
well,
trees.
Well, look for the pine trees. Is it a vacant lot now, or is there another house?
No, it's vacant.
Vacant lot. Mm-hmm. You'll have to go look at the pine trees. We're talking about your grandfather, Charles. Now, who was he married to?
He married Laura Mercier. Laura was from an old family. Her mother was an Esel in the German colony, and her father was a French Canadian. In fact, I remember very well the story he told me as I was growing up, how he came to this area. He was a young man of 18 years old. His name was Napoleon Mercier. And he wanted adventures, so he thought he'd go west where they were mining and so forth in the States. Family was very well established in Canada. So he got as far as Pueblo. He heard about the Golden Chimneys, or the Bassett Mine, the Breeder, and so forth. And he was going to take the stagecoach to Silvercliff, and which he did. He bought a ticket. And he bought the cheap ticket, which was cheaper because you walked up the hills. He didn't realize that it was all uphill to Silvercliff. So when he got to Silvercliff, he was pretty tired and pretty discouraged and a little homesick. And he spent his last 75 cents for a hotel room, which was nothing but a pile of straw in a corner and boards, you know, just slats put up with cracks between them. He said it was raining and it was muddy and he was discouraged, and he walked outside just as another man shot another man in the back. And he said if he had the money, he would have gone back to Canada and forgot all about his adventure.
So did he do any mining?
Yes, then he mined, and he was eventually became a foreman at the Bassett Mine.
Okay.
And from there, he was like a lot of the miners that spent all their money in Saturday nights and Sundays, he loaned them his money for the weekends.
Uh-huh.
And eventually branched out into ranching and leave his first ranch where he and Grandma Mercier lived. It's out on Colony Lane. Raymond Cook owns it now, and before that, Robertson's did. I think that Eddie Hansen. But it was the ranch that Grandpa Mercier started.
So about how many acres did he have?
I don't know how many acres. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but for sure in the titles you could find that.
Uh-huh. Did he do anything else besides ranching?
Then he branched into the hardware business, and of course then they had not only my grandmother but several sons. They went into business with them, which is where my grandfather came in and started after he married my grandmother, going into business with them. But they were in the livery and the ranching and the hardware, even the mortuary for a short time. Grandpa Mister is very versatile.
I think most people out here that, you know, that were successful didn't just do one thing. They found that they had to do many things. Now, did your grandfather live in town at all?
My great-grandfather built the house that Mary Lou Lydon did live in now. Built that for my grandmother, and they lived there until they both died.
Uh-huh.
One branch of the family that came from my grandmother's side and from the Edsel side of my great-grandparents was Marie, and she married Alexander Lacey, who started the Wet Mountain Tribune, and who's now married and buried, sorry, in the Catholic Cemetery. The Messier was a big family. Grandma Messier had 5, 6 sisters, several brothers, and they had branched out in all directions and married all types of people.